Yeah, so this is at least it's going to be a conversation style piece. We'll just talk and listen to some of your music.
Sure, you bet.
I don't ever time anything, so if you have to go or anything, let me know because I do get long-winded sometimes.
Well, I'm good. I'm pretty much good. It's only 2:30 here, 2:40,
Okay.
so I'm good.
Perfect. Yeah, it's I'm 2 hours ahead of you. I was in color. You're in Colorado, right?
Yep, sure enough.
I was in Colorado a couple years ago with a family. I loved it out there. I've been out there a couple
Oh
times.
yeah, where'd you go?
The first time we went, we stayed at a campground outside of Denver, and we went to Fort Collins because my oldest son was looking at Colorado State.
Right.
And then we went to Winter Park one time, one winter. And then the last time we stayed there, we stayed, I can't remember the city, but I know we went and visited the Shining Hotel. We were close to there.
Oh, okay.
So that was my trip in Colorado.
There you go.
Right. You ready to roll, Mr. Sims?
Sure enough.
All right, everybody, this is the Georgia Songbirds, and we're here, Mr. Lee Sims, singer-songwriter of Colorado. Introduce yourself, Lee.
I'm Lee Sims. Live here in Aurora, Colorado, suburb of Denver, and been playing music for well over 50 years. Have some CDs that you've been so gracious to give me some plays, and I appreciate it. And so, I've traveled all over the United States playing music.
Yep, that's cool. Yeah, sure. What this has always been is it started off as a podcast. What we're doing right now, this is what it's always intended to be. And I've always tried to branch out with other things. Like that's the radio station. I play the music, and I've always been a like a shuffle. I just love different styles of music, and I'm a songwriter too. So I'm gonna listen to everything and play everything and help out as many people as I can.
Well, cool.
Now, I was doing a little bit of reading on you. You're in the Colorado County Music Hall of Fame, right? Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yes, I am.
That's pretty cool. Tell about that.
Well, I was actually the very first inductee into the Colorado Country Music Hall of Fame, and that was back 25 years ago, as a matter of fact. So, just when they established it, they just used what everybody that had been playing in Colorado, the ones that had achieved probably the best success, were the ones that were recognized first. And since then, it's branched off to include national acts and up and coming acts. And so it's kind of grown. They're having a big celebration actually on this Sunday, celebrating their 25th anniversary.
That's really, really cool. Yeah, everything I use here will be audio, so I'll just pull the audio out and I edit some of this down, but I'll let you know before I release it for sure.
Sure, no problem.
Now, what got you started then? Because you said you've been doing it for what, about 50 years?
Probably a little longer than that, but that's close enough. But no, I started playing music in 1965, and so that was just a high school band, and we did all the high school band stuff that everybody does. But I actually started singing before that because my father was a promoter of country music for the military, and so he that was something that was in his blood, and he kind of led me in that direction, and I picked it up and started singing before I started playing, and then eventually I was able to play and accompany myself.
See, I didn't know people realized my wife's military, and I didn't know this until we went to like one of her, they had a bunch of, what do they call those? There was a meeting place for, it was like a, it's like we called them freebies, but they were like a love language seminar kind of thing. And I met like the director of the music group that they go around singing. That's their job for the military, is they go around to these bases and sing.
Yeah, that's cool. I know living here in Colorado, the Air Force Academy has their own musicians too that travel around. So it's pretty cool.
That is really cool. See, I didn't know that. I learned something new every day. That's my goal.
That's a good goal.
Yep. It doesn't always work though. Sometimes I probably forget more than I learn
I know I have.
though. Also, it says in here he was a demo singer, right? Do you still do that?
Not as much as I used to, but I have my own studio here at my house, and so I do get some commercial jingles that from time to time, or do radio liners, for people with the radio shows that are so gracious to play my music. So
Now, do you have a, like a radio voice that you use for the little?
well, I probably do. I don't know. I used to do DJing for an internet radio station out of Florida, the Country Bear. And so I used to do that. I did that for probably about 10 years.
I know my son tells me, he says, "Daddy, you have a podcast voice." I said, "I don't like it." So why? He says, "It's too deep." I'm like, "Well, son, I can hear myself. I grew up with a speech impediment, so I do this to force myself to talk to people, and
Right.
I can hear what I sound like, so I can actually pronounce the words and talk." And this is my, I said, "This is my normal voice, son. You just normally I can't hear because I got a
Yeah.
busted eardrum in my left
Oh no.
ear." I found that out. My mom was cleaning out my ears. And the way we did it is we poured peroxide in the ears. That's just how she cleaned my ears out. Well, she
Right.
did that one day, and pus started coming out of my ear. She goes, "We need to take you to the doctor." I'm like, "Okay." So I went to the doctor, and he said that I had a busted eardrum, and if we'd waited much longer, I would have went deaf in my left ear. It didn't hurt.
Oh.
I had no idea.
Wow.
But now I'm hard of hearing out of. Everything sounds like it's underwater in that ear, so I can. That's what I
Oh.
said. It's hard for me to hear myself sometimes, but these headphones I wear, I can hear myself really well.
That's great. Good stuff.
Now, going to the demo, because I think that's pretty cool, the demo singer thing. Did you do any demos for big artists?
No, actually, a lot of the stuff that I was doing was actually the commercial jingle end of things.
Okay.
So, I was working for a company here in the Denver area that would do commercial jingles that went all over the United States, and they had different singers. I was just one of the stable of singers, and they would write a commercial script, and then they would give it to, like, I would do the country version, and like Gary Morris was in that stable. He would do all the pop versions of it, and then of course if they needed ladies, we had plenty of ladies around that that did their part too. So that's really kind of where I was.
So what's the like the biggest campaign you get to sing for?
Some Dodge commercials. Those were still mostly local, but still some Dodge and Ford. And see, trying to remember, oh gosh darn, I can't think. Caught me off guard on that question. So, but anyway, they were all over, and like I was saying, they went all over the United States and in Europe.
Okay. Are you getting to like play around town now? Do you just do a lot of work in the studio, or do you actually get to go out and still perform?
I could go out and perform, but right now I'm staying in the studio. I've always liked that kind of work anyway, and when COVID came along, everything changed for me. I was playing a lot when COVID came in, but since then, I've kind of said, I think this is kind of where I need to be.
Yeah. I know that was, like I said before earlier, with the when COVID hit, it stopped the guests, and I understood that. My mom, when she was alive, it was around COVID, so I was like, okay, she's sick. I can't have people around her anyway. So if I get sick, I can't, I won't be able to take care of her. So I get that kind of changed. A lot of people got to write more, but it also took people away from performing as much. But I think everybody just loves
Right.
the music. They found a way to do it. Now you
So I'm
play
still,
a lot of instruments, right?
well, not a whole lot, but I mean, I play guitar, I play dobro, bass, harmonica. That's probably about the extent of my playing skills.
Did I read you could play steel guitar?
No, dobro.
Dobro. Okay. I thought I saw you
Yeah.
played some steel in there too.
Well, it was a lap steel. When I first started learning how to play, it was a lap steel, and it's tuned a little bit differently than the dobro, but still, that's where it all started.
Okay. Now, that I have a question musically then, because I've been trying to figure out how to play the harmonica. Is there a key, like when you're trying to play in a certain key, like you're playing, say, key of C, do you use the key of C harmonica or does it transpose to something different?
What I've found is it always seems to be better if you use the four in the key that you're in.
Okay.
So I would probably use an F harmonica rather than the C. But some of the stuff I was doing, I'd use both of them because I just know where I wanted to go with the melody. But yeah, normally that works best.
Okay. See, 'cause I have some, like I said, harmonicas, and they came with a sheet that had transpose sheet. And I'm like, really? You don't play it? I thought you played in the same key. I thought he would just like, if it's in C, you play it in C, or, but it's not. I guess it is a fourth. I didn't really pay attention to the difference of it. I would just go by the sheet and cheat.
Well, that's good.
Now, did I read you got to perform with some big names, right?
We've done our share. No, back, like 50 years ago, we were working with, I don't know whether you're familiar with him or not, but he wrote Amarillo by Morning, Terry Stafford. So
Okay.
we worked with him for a while. Also worked with, back in that time frame, we worked with Claude King. He had the big hit back in the early 60s, Wolverton Mountain. And let's see, and then from that point we moved on. We started working with a country fair that came to town. We were with the backup band, so we backed up a lot of the lady singers like Connie Cato, who did Super Skirt, Tanya Tucker, obviously. I don't need to go into that part. And then Buck Owens. We actually just worked on the same show with him. We obviously didn't back him up. He had the Buckaroos. But then Waylon Jennings, we worked on the same show with him. And when George Strait was just beginning, he came to Denver, and I had a house gig at the time. And he was he, his very first Denver appearance was at that house gig that I had, and we backed him up. He brought his bass player, but the rest of the band backed him up. So, of course, at that time, nobody knew who he was. He was promoting Down and Out and Unwound. So, kind of give you an idea of how long that was.
Oh yeah,
But
George
yeah,
Strait, one of my favorites.
oh, mine too. Mine too is the best.
See, now that's cool. Do you have any stories you want to share, or do you have anybody that was your maybe your favorite to work with?
Let's see. Well, I really did enjoy working with Claude King. He even came and stayed with me, so I got to know him personally pretty well, and that was early on, and so I was really impressed by him anyway. But yeah, the rest of them, a lot of times they were just flying through town, and they'd come in and do their show, and the next day they'd be gone. So I didn't get to talk to him a whole lot, just mostly on show day.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to some of your music now. What I normally do is I give everybody about three songs to play. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to share the screen. I don't know if you can you see anything when on your end?
I can see you.
Okay.
I can see you. I don't know why you can't see me. Hold on a second. Maybe I can take care of that. Does that work?
There you go. Now I
There
can
I am.
see you. Yep. You got the Rocky
Yeah,
hat going.
there you go. I'm a big baseball fan, and we have one of the worst teams in baseball, but I still love them.
Apparently we have a good team here. I don't watch baseball as
Oh.
much anymore. The last time I watched, really paid attention to the Braves was when my papa was alive. So I
Yeah.
remember like Dale Murphy and Bob Horner. That's the people
Oh,
I
yeah.
remember. Apparently that was a long time ago.
Yeah, Del Murphy ended his career with the Rockies,
Did
as
he?
a matter of fact. Yes, he did. So that was pretty cool.
I know when we went to not SunTrust Field, but the field right that they retired. There's like the last we went to the last game there. I can't remember the name of the field because I don't want to pay attention to it. But they had Dale Murphy Appreciation Night. He was there at the at that game.
He was a really great player. And you guys do. You have the best team in baseball this year,
Well,
without a doubt.
hopefully they win because every time they have a great team, they never usually get past the first round.
Boy, they're kicking everybody's backsides, I'll tell you that.
Good. I'm gonna root for him.
You better.
All right, let's see. What I'm gonna do here, Lee, is I'm gonna share the screen so you can see it. And what we'll do is you pick a song of yours, and you just tell me what song was the first song you want to play. And I thought I was following you. Let me follow that. Tell me the first song you want us to listen to, and of course, like, I'm a songwriter too, so I like to hear the stories behind them.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, you're on my 2014, Deep in the Heart of Me. That one right there, that's a nice kind of Texas swing song. I don't know whether you've had a chance to listen to it or not.
Which one?
And Blues on Parade, Whirlwind.
Okay.
And that's, kind of a Texas swing. We'd start there and get through into the A Few More Miles to Go CD, and there you can kind of draw some comparisons there. This song actually was written by a friend of mine who lives in Texas, and so I kind of like the tune, so maybe give that one a shot.
Okay. Well, I'm going to mute us and play it. Just give me a thumbs up when you hear it.
I don't put my blues on parade. I keep a smile on my face, although my heart wears a frown. I don't want the world to know how it hurts to see you go and how you've made me out a clown. I do my crying in the rain so my tears don't show the pain I feel since you've let me down. I don't put my blues on parade. I don't want my heartache marching round. You've made a circus of my heart now, honey. Now it's the greatest hurt on earth. But I brought the big top down. This show is leaving town. I won't be no main attraction to amuse your satisfaction. I won't play leader of the band. Step in time to please the fans out on Main Street in town. I don't put my blues on parade. I don't want my heartache marching round. Play leader of the band. Step in time to please the fans out on Main Street in town. I don't put my blues on parade. I don't want my heartache marching round. I don't put my blues on parade. I don't want my heartache marching round.
Yeah, I've heard that one. It's got a Texas, very Texas swing to it.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, the guy who wrote that was Randy Norton, and he lives like right in the middle of Texas somewhere. That's kind of hard to imagine, as big as that state is, but there is a middle somewhere.
Yeah.
And he loves that Texas swing, and he gave that to me. He says, why don't you give this one a shot? And I said, well, I'd be happy to. So that's how that one came around.
I don't know if because I've heard it before, because I got you on my radio station and it played multiple times. I don't know if I is this why I'm thinking of it that way, but I think I heard that song. Has it been cut by anybody else?
He does work with other singers, so it's very possible. He works with one guy in particular. And darn it, his name escapes me right now, but he's there in Texas, and so he's done several of his songs before.
Okay.
Something Keeble. Oh, his last name is Keeble. That's all I can remember right now. But he's pretty big around the Dallas Fort Worth area.
That's funny. My bassist name is Jordan Keevil.
Oh, really?
My
I'll be darned.
lead guitarist moved to Texas. He's in Austin now.
Oh, boy.
We're trying to get to Texas a little bit to play. I want to play it. Texas is a place I would love to play.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What's the like the you've been playing for a while, so where's like one of the best places you've played city-wise or venue-wise?
You know, I always enjoyed playing up in Wyoming. And I think maybe just because it felt more like more welcoming to me than any place else. We played all over. We played the Nevada circuit for years, and that's kind of a cold circuit though. You know, you go in at 8 o'clock at night and get off at 5 in the morning, and nobody cares about the music you're playing. All they care about is those handles on the machines. You know, it obviously it wasn't a big we weren't in it in the big casinos where it was a show atmosphere, so we were just kind of a sideline thing.
Like
So,
that.
but yeah, like I kind of digress there. Casper was a good town. Cheyenne was a good town for me. Albuquerque was a good town for me. Let's see, where else did it really turn out good? Oh, another one actually was in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada. That was another good one. And they really liked their country music up there. And boy, I'm telling you, they knew how to put it together.
Oh yeah,
Very friendly.
I get a lot of Canadians that come not only on the like the show for the countdown or just that come on the show period. So the way this works here is when yours releases, you know, I don't know if you know, I do the weekly top 10 countdown. That's
I have
something
seen
that,
that.
yeah, what I'll do is for when your episode airs, I'll bump you up. 'Cause like right now I've got like 450, 60 songs in the waiting list. And I tell people
Right.
I only add four at a time. So I only put one artist's song in at a time. So you'll never have more than one. I just think because I only do 14, it's not fair to have that
Sure.
many take over the countdown. And so the guests, when they come on, I automatically bump you up. So when your episode comes out, if you hadn't had one already, you will have one of your songs played in that countdown. And it's more just for fun. But if you last for 12 weeks, because I send it to other stations, then you get a little featurette in Paris. And they'll have a little Paris. You play in Paris.
Sweet. That is good. I didn't know. I'm trying to remember. I was introduced to your Georgia Songbirds. I'm gonna guess maybe 4 months ago, 5 months ago. I hadn't run across it until then, and I don't know how it happened, but I was but I'm thankful it did.
Well, I thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate anybody that comes on and wants to talk to me. When
So, what part of Georgia are you in?
I am in North Georgia. I'm about an hour between, so from here is an hour to Atlanta and an hour to Chattanooga. So I'm right kind of in the middle. So
Got an
to
idea.
Nashville is like 3 hours, but I'm right close to the line. You know,
Ah, I
I don't
see.
know if you how familiar you are with Georgia, but I'm out in Cartersville.
Oh, okay. I'm not terribly familiar, but I was born there. My dad was stationed there at Fort Benning, so.
Really?
I actually was born near Columbus,
Okay.
but we traveled, so I lost the accent years ago.
I still got
Good for you. Good for you.
it won't go away. I tell everybody when they listen to me, this is what you get. I'm going country's hell. There's just nothing that I can say that's going to be any different. When I do music, it's country. Now, I did go to Vegas. It was
That's
funny.
nice.
You mentioned Vegas. I was in Vegas for my 40th birthday. I went there. And I went and played at casinos, and I remember going to this one casino and talking to the lady that was doing the cards, and she thought I was from Scotland, and I'm like, no,
Oh no.
top of the morning to you, I guess, but no.
That's hilarious.
So
No,
what
I
are
my mother was mom and dad were both from Gadsden, Alabama. And she lived here in Colorado from 1963 until she passed in 2017. And she still had that strong Alabama accent, so she never lost it.
Now you've been talking to music and stuff. You got anything going on? You got like albums coming out, or what's going on with Mr. Lee Sims?
I'm actually got two projects that are in the works right now. I'm going to have another CD. I'm still probably about 3 songs short of having the complete album. And then I'm also doing a more spiritually based CD as well. So I've got a lot of good songs on that one too. So kind of split in time there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still running through the album that you sent to me for New Music Monday. So Nick, I can tell you now, next Monday, one of your songs we played. I can tell you right now, I don't know which one it is, but you'll see it. It's played on there, and it's a mixture with everybody. As you know, you've seen it and you've heard it. I've had people ask me, why don't you just do country? I was like, why? Because there's so many other musicians out there and songwriters. I think when people hear songwriter, they automatically think country, folk, Americana, but there's songwriters in every genre.
Well, yeah, you don't get a rock and roll song unless you got somebody writing it,
Right. I wrote a rock song for there's this lady here in Georgia. Well, I think she moved to California now, but her name is Bree Fox. Amazing singer, sang a lot like Janis Joplin. She just had
Oh.
that power voice. And so I wrote this. I'm watching Grease with my daughter, and I'm sitting there listening to the hand jive. And I'm like, what would it sound like? There's a band called Hailstorm. It's a female led rock band. I'm like, what would it sound like if Hailstorm did this song? And so I made a rock song called I Can Be Yours, and I had her just play it. And she was so good. She came in there, mentioned like you're a demo singer. She came in there and did it in one take. And I'm like, do it again. I'm paying you. It was so
That is
good.
awesome. Awesome stuff.
So you got those two albums going, and you said you mainly do your stuff at your studio. So you mix and master all that, produce it all yourself?
No, I don't. I have a producer in Nashville, actually in Smyrna, and he does all the recording of everything other than my vocals. I do my vocals here locally. And once again, that was a byproduct of COVID as well. But I've enjoyed it since then. I do the vocal, send it to him, not touched at all, and then he takes it and puts it through its paces there in his studio.
So you
But
just send
he's
like a scratch with you and a guitar or something?
actually, what'll happen when we do it from the very beginning is he will send me a piano and a click track, and then I sing to that, and
Okay.
that's the waist vocal. Then I send that to him, and then he brings in the musicians, and they put it down, and then he gets it to a level where I can actually put the final vocal on it, and then I send that back to him. So it's all done through the space.
See, and you were worried about Zoom and you can do all that stuff.
That's easy because I've been doing it, but I never tackled Zoom. This is a new animal for me.
It's so funny with technology what you can do now. You can sit there and you can write songs and you can send your vocals across the internet to people all over the world to do it because I listen to your songs and the production is really, really good. So if you want to give them
Thank
a
you.
shout out, I'm more than happy with you doing that.
Oh, well, his name is Greg Cole. He was the band leader, and he was also the producer for Daryl Singletary.
Oh,
And
love Daryl
so he's
Singletary.
yeah, he's got some pretty strong roots there. And so most of the musicians that are pretty well known on that are on my stuff. So it goes a long ways when you've got the great musicians there. Plus, like I said, Greg is just phenomenal at what he does.
Well, let's listen to another one of your songs. Which one do you want to do next?
Well, let's go to one of my favorite songs is they're on A Few More Miles to Go. That one right there, I'm Gonna Let You Down.
And what's the story behind this song?
This is actually a Nashville songwriter, Galen Griffin, and he's actually had some big hits for Joe Diffie. Just before Joe Diffie passed away, he was doing one of his songs, and he's got a lot of stuff. So great songwriter, much better than I could ever do, that's for sure. But this is one of my favorite songs.
Okay, I'm gonna again mute us and play it. Just give me a thumbs up when you hear
If you think I'm gonna be like all the others before you met me. Those other clowns, I've gotta warn you now, I'm gonna let you down. if you're sure it's gonna fall apart. And you're only waiting for me to break your heart, thinking that's what love's about. I'm gonna let you down. I'm gonna change your expectations. I'm gonna make a smile out of that frown. But if you're convinced I'm gonna leave, I'm gonna let you down. If you're suspecting that I'm only here to whisper sweet words in your ear just for tonight, I've gotta tell you now, I'm gonna let you down. I'm gonna change your expectations. I'm gonna make a smile out of that frown. But if you're convinced I'm gonna leave, I'm gonna let you down. I'm gonna change your expectations. I'm gonna make a smile out of that frown. But if you're convinced I'm gonna leave, I'm gonna let you down. But if you're convinced I'm gonna leave, I'm gonna let you down.
Another good one.
Thank you.
You got a very strong voice.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very fortunate that way. I had some problems when I first started singing because I wasn't singing correctly. So I wound up having to go to a speech pathologist who taught me how to use the diaphragm. And he always told me, he says, you know, pick somebody that you like and try to emulate them. I was pretty young at the time. I was only like 18, maybe even 17. And so I picked Johnny Cash, and he always had that powerful voice. So I think that's kind of where it came from.
That's a good person to emulate.
Yeah, you bet.
I see what I love about you got still got the country storytelling that people complain is not any around anymore. And it's not, there's different things going on. That's a whole different aspect, but I still love the story aspects of songs. So
that's where I go. As a matter of fact, that's the way I choose songs. You know, it's got to have a good story for me to because I want to be able to try to feel what I'm singing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've got one I was thinking of. It's kind of a fun song that I just saw there listed. Maybe we'll take a look at that one in a few minutes. But for the most part, they have something to say. You know.
Now, you mentioned songs that you picked. How do you choose your songs, or do you take submissions? I know people are kind of weird about things like that.
I listen to just about anything. But I do have some songwriters that I fall back on a lot, like the guy Randy down in Texas, and then Galen Griffin there in Nashville. And there's a couple more out of Nashville that I use too that I don't use them. Therefore, I'm fortunate enough to have them let me use their material. But I just look for something that strikes a chord in me.
Okay.
I don't know how else to say that. But
now, if there's for any mile, because most of my listeners are songwriters too. So, do you want to give email or anything for them to send a song if they want to submit music to you?
Sure. Like I said, I'm still got probably three more slots left on the country album that I'm going to do.
I'll send you one too. I've got one that's probably more up your alley than mine. I wrote it. There's a buddy of mine named Keith Burns. He was a trick pony, and he was actually the bassist for Joe Diffie early on. And I wrote it for his birthday. He's getting old, and it's called "In with the Old and Out with the New."
Oh, cool. That's
So,
funny you mentioned Trick Pony because their first female singer was actually from here in Denver. And what was her name? Oh, anyway, but yeah, that's funny that you mentioned that though.
was it something Poe, or was it Heidi? Was Heidi? Heidi wasn't the first one, was she?
No, she was this. I think she was the second one. Hold on just a second here, I'll find it. But at any rate, she actually came. She was part of the Colorado Country Music Hall of Fame too. She was a performer. She wasn't. She had not been inducted. Oh, it'll come to me later. I don't know.
I didn't even know, honestly, because I know he started. I didn't even know he had another singer besides Heidi, because I know that was, I know he's told some stories about like when he first wrote Poor Me, he took it to the band and they thought it was so bad because it was too slow and sad. He said, just listen to it, you know, and then it became like one of their biggest hits. He goes, see, I know what I'm talking about.
Aubrey James.
Okay, Aubrey James.
Yeah, ask him about that. Now, I don't think I've lost the brain cell that's telling me that's right.
I have to ask him
I
next
think
time. His mom is like 5 minutes from my house. We actually met in Atlanta at a bar. We were he came to promote for like a songwriter retreat, and I was playing there, and we got to talking, and then found out his mom is 5 minutes from my house.
That's crazy. That's crazy stuff.
You've been playing, like I said, for 50 years, and you do most of the picking and singing and stuff. And so, what's some advice maybe you could give for other maybe singers slash songwriters that are trying to come up and do what you do and, you know, play out and just make good music?
What I would say today, it's a different animal altogether than what it was when I started. But speaking from my own experience, what helped me the most was that I was able to establish myself well enough that I got a house gig that lasted for a long time. And that gave me 6 nights a week of just continuously singing and learning just a boatload of music. I've forgotten more songs than I know. I mean, I've forgotten. As a house band, we were learning about six new songs a week, and so we were flying through all that stuff. But we had to because we were stuck. We were landlocked. We weren't going anywhere. So, but anyway, that repetition is what helped me. Unfortunately, I didn't delve into the songwriting too much because I got bogged down in what I was writing, and I never got past it. It's kind of like working out, and you get to that one more that you need to do to get past everything. And I never quite got there. So, but that would be what I'd suggest: just a lot of repetition and playing with as many people as you can. That's definitely the thing today. It's like, go out and play with everybody, and anybody that lets you sit in with them, or if you can put a band together with them for even a couple of months or something, there's always something to be learned there. And then next thing is, I think it's really important, and I wish I had done this. I think it would have made things a lot better for me. But I think it's important too to get a good education on the music business itself. Some colleges, especially like they're in Nashville, offer courses on management and the music business itself. And I think that would be really helpful. All the things that you can put in your back pocket, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I meet a lot of younger singer-songwriters, especially some from Nashville. That's where they go. I think it's Belmont. They go to Belmont up there in Nashville. And one lady that I've wrote a couple of songs with, one of her professors is from one of my favorite bands, Little Texas. She
Oh,
was telling
yeah.
me, she's saying he's part of the band. I was like, what? He's from Little Texas? And he's, oh, wow, okay. I just thought that was so cool that, you know, that's how they give back. They're teaching other people to do it.
Yep. Well, I think that's where Brad Paisley went to school too. And I've heard some stories about that too. So, and he's amazing to me. Besides being a phenomenal player, he's got a lot of business sense. I mean, the only other one that I can think of that tops him really is Taylor Swift. And she's on her own planet. That's all I can say.
that
But
she's
she's got.
come up a lot on this podcast
Yeah. She
because
is, she's something. You know, I have to admit that I wasn't a fan of hers to begin with. And I'm not a Swiftie. I don't do that kind of stuff. But I admire her from a distance. All the stuff that she comes up, all of the promotional stuff that she does and how she does it, it's wow. I admire her.
she could teach a class in marketing. She is a marketing genius.
Yes, she is.
That
And like I said,
I
I've
listened
definitely
to what was her is it After Midnight? After, I don't remember the name of the album because I'm not, I listen to a couple of her songs when it comes on the radio, but I don't listen to her like a girl. And I'm sitting there listening to the whole album, and I'm like, it just gave me the visual of girls crying in her pillow all night,
Right.
and every song was like that. And I asked my, I've got a daughter who's 14, and I'm like, is that what she meant? She goes, yeah, that's what we all love. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's great.
My daughter's a little bit different. She loves Queen. That's her favorite band. She just loves Queen, and she started digging into Elvis and Queen and the Rolling Stones. I mean, she just that kind of music. And she's got a twin brother, and he's opposite. He likes Marty Robbins, and he listens to like George Strait, and he listens to older country stuff too. He just likes that.
Oh yeah. That's what Queen was is a great band. You know, I grew up listening to them too, but never went down that road.
My dad tried to get, see, I love the Eagles. I grew up listening to the Eagles. My dad was like a big
Name.
Pink Floyd fan. And I didn't get into Pink Floyd because they were, it was so, listening now, I get it that how the aspect of it, it's so unique by the storytelling that they do through their whole album. But like when you're a kid and you're trying to play a tape and you can't fast forward to the next song, you don't know when the song stops or starts because the whole albums would just blend together.
Right.
But
Yep.
they did it on purpose.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Queen was good too.
There was a there is I think Adam Lambert play is like the lead singer for Queen now, and my daughter wanted to go to a concert. I'm like, I can't. I said, I can't go to listen to, he said, well, most of the bands are the same. I'm like, I can't. I said, Freddie Mercury's not there. Queen wouldn't be the same. It's like the Eagles now. Vince Gill plays for him, and Vince Gill is an amazing guitarist, a singer. We all know that. But it's still not the Eagles, just to me. I mean, I'm not going to pay $200 a ticket to go see half the band.
And $200 is a good price. I'm telling you right now, those stadium tours they are out of sight. I can't believe people have that kind of money to go to them, you know?
Right? Because you got to pay for more than one ticket. And then you got to pay for the $9 beer or $12, whatever they're charging you now.
Oh, I don't know. If I go to a last baseball game I went to last year was about, I think it was about $12. I think you're right, for a beer. So I'm going, you know what? I'll stay home and drink my dollar beer.
Right, I can't get hit with nothing. Now we did go for my daughter. She was in chorus, and they were singing the national anthem. So we got to have tickets. We went, and it was all part of the group. We paid like $20 or something for to give to the teachers and got everybody in. And I remember watching it, and that was nosebleed section, way, way, way at the top. But it still was fun.
Oh yeah, sure.
That was cool. But I wouldn't pay the amount that they were paying. That's just I'm cheap. First of all, I am. And second, I mean, I love like Chris Stapleton, but when my daughter told me the prices, I was like, no. My wife, see, I have been a concert probably the last one before recently, was Lanier Land. I got to see Charlie Daniels play, and they were like $20 or something at the time. Now, my wife, because she's military, she got free tickets for an Alabama show to go see Alison Krauss and Robert Plant. And they
Oh,
put
wow.
on an amazing show. I mean, it was that one was just an outdoor little venue. It was so great just to listen to him play.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. Yeah, I think the last concert I went to was a Marty Stewart concert, and that was great. If you ever get a chance to see him, that's worth the time. He's a really good performer.
We'll have to. Yeah, Travis Tritt lives around here, so he plays every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan Jackson down there too, right? And
Yeah,
was
he's a
he
little
up
farther
in?
south than me, but Travis Tritt's like in Pickens, not Pickens, Paulding, so he's like 30 minutes from the house. Alan
Oh,
Jackson's a couple hours. He's down in Noonan. So, all right, well, let's hear one more of your songs, Mr. Lee. Which one you want to do for your last one?
I'm gonna pick one that's a little bit faster. This is a little more on the rock and roll side of things, and probably about my limit on that. But you can hit that first one right there, "Live Myself to Death Before I Die." This was written by another friend of mine who lives up in Casper, Wyoming. So.
I already like the hook. I like the way they got it in there before I die. So that's, I know people, that's kind of how they judge songs. Like if you're pitching songs, the first thing you want to see is a hook, right? Because they
Right.
don't, that you get in front of them. Oh, what's this cool? This is a cool title. I got a song called Pretty in the Dark. Everybody loves to look at it. It's Pretty in the Dark. It's a rock song and it's not a good, it's not a nice story, but it catches them with a hook. And the next thing, it's a production and then your voice. And then they finally listen to the story.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna mute us and play it.
All right, sounds good.
They got me shackled to the grindstone, working this assembly line. Working like a dog from early in the morning, sometimes until the sun don't shine. I'm a watching that clock and I'm ready to rock when the little hand points to five. I'm gonna live myself to death before I die. I'll be living it up till the day they lay me down. I'll stop kicking when they put me 6 feet under the ground. Yeah, I know there's a train a coming, but until that train arrives, I'm gonna live myself to death before I die. Cause I'm a juke joint jumping honky tonking fool. I still got a few good years left in these cowboy boots. Well, when my time comes, I don't mind a going, but I won't be standing in line. I'm gonna live myself to death before I die. I've got an 8 o'clock date with the cutie from the Diamond Five. They got a band down in Nashville jumping at the Duck and Dive. St. Peter knows where to find me if I need to be found tonight. I'm gonna live myself to death before I die. Cause I'm a juke joint jumping honky-tonking fool. Tonight I'll be dragging hot leather on my cowboy boots. When my time comes, I don't mind going, but I won't be standing in line. I'm gonna live myself to death before I die. I know there's a train a coming, St. Peter, brother, take your time. I'm gonna live myself to death before I die.
That is definitely a fun one.
Yeah, it is.
You had a little rock scream going in there.
Yeah, that's my throwback to the Beatle days.
That's very dance hall vibe kind of song. I could see people shuffling, doing line dances and stuff to it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Fun tune.
I wrote that on my note. I can't see my notes, but on my notes it says fun. It's a fun, I guarantee the band had to love to play that stuff.
Oh yeah. Those are really good players too. You got Brent Mason playing guitar on that, Mike Johnson on steel, and Gordon Mode on piano. So they got some A players there.
I've been looking for. There's a song I wrote. I wanted a honky tonk, like the boogie woogie type of piano. I love hearing those kind of those songs, like Jerry Lee Lewis, just boogie, getting down on it. They're so much fun.
I tell you, if you get a chance, sometime go YouTube Gordon Mote. He's really kind of he's an all around player, but he's really spiritual too. He's got a lot of spiritual stuff that he does, but he's a Pig Robbins protege, and he's blind as well. But he
Okay.
just kills it. Now check some of his stuff out.
You said Gordon Mote?
Mote, Mote.
I'm writing it down, so I definitely check him out because I love like Warrior Orbison's one of my favorite singers of all time. I love Ronnie Milsap. I mean, I don't know what it is. Ray Charles. I mean, people that just I guess they lose their sight. They got the other feelings, and it's enhanced. And it's I have nothing but respect for somebody who can do that. I couldn't do that. I can see and I can't do that. So
Yeah.
that's crazy how talented so many people are.
He's something else. I'm really a big fan of his.
Now, do you have anybody? Because I always ask people for the local scenes. So do you have anybody you listen to that's maybe local in Colorado or around you?
I have several actually. I listen to a guy who actually he plays with a lot of different bands. His name is Jeff Golden. And he's got a great voice. Let's see. And the guy that played steel for me is another great voice. His name is Ken Dearth. And so I enjoy listening to them sing. And that's the ones that come to mind right away.
Okay. Yes, that's kind of the only two things I ever ask for of my guests is one, of course, share with everybody you know, and two is pay it forward. So if you know of any other singer songwriters, bands, doesn't matter where they're at in their journey, if they want to come talk to me. Like I said, I'll talk to them.
Okay, I'll send it your way.
Yep, that's how I've grown. I mean, I don't really advertise as much. I just promote it and have everybody promote their own out of it. You know, because the way I set it up to start with songwriters always, not always, but songwriters have a hard time promoting themselves. They got to learn how to do it, right? And then you get promoters and you got to have a good team, but you still got to learn some of the basic stuff of it. And if you're afraid to say, hey, here's my music, then nobody wants to hear it. You know, it's not that it's not good. It's just you got to get past that shy or insecurity and like, you know, here, do this. I have no problem putting my stuff. Want to listen to it? Here you go. I have no problem.
No problem.
Nope. All they can tell me is no. That's the worst case thing to say. Okay.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained, right?
Right. I used to have a when I used to part of a selling had sell package when I was younger. I sold like golf packages. So I'd walk around and selling like these little things. And they always gave like a rah-rah session in the beginning. And I remember this because they'd put us all in a circle and they'd have somebody come in, one of the people that's been there the longer. And I remember this one girl. I don't know why I remember this the most, but she'd come in, she'd get everybody a sheet of paper and she balled it up. She said, ball up your paper. All right. So she came by, she grabbed the paper, she threw it over her shoulder, she says, no, no, no. And she walked around everybody doing it. She goes, you're gonna hear no all day long. Don't listen to the no's, throw it away. Wait for the yes.
I'll be darned. That's a great way to look at it. That is good.
I remember it stuck with me. I mean, I thought it was so silly. I was like, man,
Yeah.
who's going? My question was, who's picking all that paper up now?
Yeah. No, that's a great way to look at it.
So, do you have, you said you're working on an album. You got some music heard. So, tell everybody, Lee, where they can find you at all your any social media, your website, wherever you want them to go.
Well, the website is probably a good place to start, and that's simple. That's just leesims.com. So you can go there and find a lot of the stuff that probably we've already talked about here. And of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. X, I guess it is now.
I can't get over that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm all those platforms. And if you go to my website, you can actually there's links to all of those things there. So that's probably the best place to go.
Okay. And I know you kind of stay more, but do you do any shows? You had any shows that you are they listed on your website?
They will be. I don't have anything up there right now, but in the future they will be there.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I always like to send that to get somebody a link to. And we mentioned it earlier. Is there an email or some place you want them to send songs for anybody wants to pitch their music to you?
Sure. It's another, it's simple again. It's Lee at leesims.com.
Okay. At leesims.com. Okay. Yeah. And I'll send it to you. Like the one I have in mind is called In with the Old and Out with the New. It's just a story about, throwing out because there's that saying, in with the new, out with the old. I flipped it around because like I'm getting old. I'm not there yet, but I'm older than a lot of the kids that are just starting out. I'm
Yep.
like, so I'm in with the old, out with the new people. Let's get the old people back.
Let's get the old people back. I like that already.
So yeah, I wrote it for his birthday. I thought it was cute. And I have songs that I write that fit my voice because I got a band and we do a lot of Southern rock and a lot of blues. But there's some that as a songwriter, and this is something that people listen to songwriters, if you don't know or you don't think about, is it's okay to write for other people. Because there's people like Mr. Lee here that will listen to your music. And
That's right.
that's how you get found as a songwriter. I mean, Chris Stapleton wrote for years. Why it took him so long to get found, who knows? That was the dumbest thing in the world, but look at him now.
I'm telling you, I agree. Yep. Yeah, no, I definitely look forward to that, because like I said, I'm always looking for new material.
Okay. Yeah, I will put that out there and I'll make a when this comes out, I'll go ahead and send mine to you. But I will put like a post or I'll make sure I put a note for pitching music in like the description. So if you guys want to pitch, and that's probably something I should ask other artists, but sometimes we just get talking and I forget to ask. It comes because we get talking about weird things and it slips my mind.
Well, and a lot of artists do write all their own stuff too. So I'm not in that ballpark there. So I'm always looking for good stuff. I like the ballads. I like the fast song like we just heard. I like and I like funny songs too. There's another one on there. I don't know whether you've had a chance to listen to it, but when Noah Built the Ark,
Yes,
might take a listen
that's the first
to that.
one I
That's
think
a
I heard of yours.
Yeah, I really like that kind of stuff too. Something that's got a twist to it or something that's funny, so.
Yeah, the song that's going to play for next Monday is Colorblind.
Colorblind, that's a great tune too, and I've gotten a lot of good response on that one.
Okay.
So.
Well, I want to thank you, Lee, for coming on the show. I've had a fun conversation with you. We've talked about everything from baseball to music. And that's kind of how
Thank
it's
you.
meant to be. See, it wasn't too bad, was it?
I've been looking forward to it for a couple of months now. So yeah, and then I got frustrated when I'm trying to figure out, well, where am I supposed to hook up? That's why I sent you that message, and then I'm going, okay, so now I got to work my way through this. So yeah, no, it's been a great time. Thank you so much for your time and your patience with me. And if I can ever do anything for you, please let me know.
Of course. And I said, what I'll do with this interview is everybody knows I always record audio and I will, it'll be a couple months before it comes out. But when I do, you'll get into the new, not the new music. I've got so many things running through my head. The weekly top 10 countdown, which is 14 songs, top is voted on. So when it comes out, there'll be a little poll and you just share. And that's how you move forward each week is you get voted. And it's fan based. It's just for fun. Right. I know some people may take it seriously, but it's for fun. It's for getting your music heard, getting exposure, and getting interactive with your fan base. That's all it is to it. If you hit number one, it doesn't matter. It's great if you do, but I'm gonna tell you now, people in the UK are crazy. They will, if there's a UK artist, I tell everybody, I was like, you're probably not gonna hit number one when there's a UK artist in there. You're just not. Oh my God, the one guy stayed in there for 12 weeks, always number one. He had a fan base. That's all it was. It wasn't about the best songs. And I know people are like, oh, I don't want to be in the competition. I don't want to be competitive. First off, it's always competitive. There's nothing wrong with competition, right? It's friendly competition.
That's
Second,
what makes you better.
Yeah. I'm a very competitive person. If I'm playing a board game, I'm playing to win, people. If I'm Monopoly, I'm going for Boardwalk and Park Place, and I'm putting hotels, and you're gonna pay me money. That's the way I do everything.
I think it's time they start putting motels and hotels on all the utilities.
Right.
Imagine that.
It's fun competition and it's friendly, but like I said, it's all for fun. And the way we kind of rewarded people, and it was cool that Muriel from Indie Radio, she said, okay, if they last 12 weeks, let's put them in Paris, give them a little spin in Paris and a little featurette, and you just reach out to her. So if you last 12 weeks, that's it. And if your song gets eliminated, you're welcome to send more. And I've got a whole list of yours, so yours will go in random times, and I'll always let you know.
I'll send you the new ones once they come out.
Perfect. Now I'll play them. I have no problem. But thank you again, Lee, for coming on. It's getting close to my dinner time. My tummy's growling. I'm like, oh, I need to get some food before you hear more of my stomach than you hear of me. Sure.
Well, thank you so much for all your time.
And come back on anytime. And I don't know if you know, we do it too. We do album reviews. If you ever want to do an album review, it's not a critique. I will never critique people's music. It's basically storytelling and listening to the music. We do that too. I always tell everybody who comes on as a guest, you're welcome to come back on at any time, but we do other things as well too.
Okay, I'd love to.
Perfect. Ali, thank you again for coming on, everybody. This is the Georgia Songbirds, and that was Mr. Lee Sims.